Spring break. Whether it's just around the corner or you're already back in the trenches counting down until summer, I get it. I get it. In this episode, we are navigating the burnout cycle with a spotlight on spring break, the anticipation, the actual break, and the hustle that follows. The countdown to spring break often feels like a mad dash to the finish line, where you literally need every ounce of energy just to make it through. But truly unwinding and really disconnecting during the break is not as simple as it sounds. Just when you've started to taste relaxation, it's time to dive back into the classroom, re-energized or not, and it's just a really slippery slope. Instead of you dealing with this huge letdown and cycling yet again in burnout, my hope is that this episode is going to give you some actionable tips and strategy to making the most out of your break before, during, and or after. So whether you're catching waves on vacay or you're catching up on sleep, this episode is all about using spring break to our advantage. So get comfy, grab a coffee or a marg if you're already on the break, and let's jump right in. Hey, teacher friends, welcome to the Resilient Teacher Podcast, your one-stop shop for beating the teacher burnout cycle once and for all. Whether you're searching for inspiration, sustainable strategies, ways to reignite your passion for teaching, or just how to live your best teacher life without sacrificing your personal life, you are in the right place. No cookie cutter solutions here, just real, raw experiences and tips from other teachers who've been there, done that, to remind you, you are not alone. I'm Brittany, your host, a special educator at heart, instructional coach, mom/bonus mom of 5 kids, and teacher burnout and sustainability strategist with my agency, Teaching Mind, Body, and Soul. I am on a mission to inspire educators to prioritize their mental health and individualize burnout prevention and recovery so that they can live a balanced, fulfilling life inside and outside of the classroom. Each week, I'll be sharing tips, strategies, and discussing the hot topics in teacher burnout with other teachers so that you can transform your life from chaos to confidence. On this podcast, we believe in supporting and uplifting one another to heal the system from the inside out. So let me remind you that you too are a resilient teacher. Before we get into this episode, I wanted to give a huge shout out to Gretchen, who left a comment on TikTok. She said that she was an avid listener of the podcast. And honestly, that means so much to me, especially since thousands of you listen every week, week after week. You share your wins with me. And I just want to remind you that your reviews and your shares are truly amazing, and they really help get the podcast into the ear holes of more educators who need empowerment and motivation, pick me up, or just a new way of thinking or doing that just helps them feel like the resilient teacher that they are. And so if you have not already done so, please, please, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you stream your pods, screenshot the episode you're listening to, share it on your socials, shoot me a DM, because I would love to shout you out on here and also maybe slip you a Starbucks gift card for a free coffee or something for helping me support the podcast and just sharing with more teachers who need this type of support. Seriously, like, I love this community of resilient teachers, and I just want to give back in more valuable episodes and sometimes maybe even a cup of joe, you know? Unfortunately, I can't send you a Frosty Margarita gift card for your sandals vacay for spring break, but everybody loves a good overpriced Starbucks, right? Anywho, I don't know if you're on spring break, if you're counting down, or if you've already passed the point of no return. Either way, I have always struggled with spring break, especially when I was cycling in burnout. One, because I was counting down the days, and for whatever reason, counting down makes things feel like so much longer. But even when, like, I got to spring break, I was literally so exhausted that I didn't want to go on a vacation. Like, vacaying with kids is not relaxing, for the record. And if it is for you, like, I need you to share your secret. But even if we didn't, like, go on a vacation with the kids, there was still, like, no rest. It was, like, I was more exhausted by the end of spring break and then when it just started, right? I tried different methods of this where I would go on vacation, I would be exhausted. I would decide the next year, like, I'd just chill out in the house. And what's interesting is that 1 year when I just hung out at the house, I was so anxious the whole week that I wore myself out, like even more. One year, like I spent the whole week doing house projects. So again, more exhausted, no rest. And then one year, I decided to take a full week to truly rest, like no requirements, just late mornings, coffee, playing, reading a book, sitting outside in the sunshine, no computer. And that week, like I felt better about going back into the classroom. But as soon as I did, there was a sense of dread, right? Like it just wasn't long enough. Like life could really be that simple, that easy. And now it's not because like I'm back in the hustle and bustle. Let me know if you kind of relate to any of these situations because I know that I'm not alone. And so I think doing these things experimentally this way made me see some really important aspects that allowed me to strategize a little better and make the most out of spring break in the long run. Now, you guys know that I love to bring in some neuroscience into the mix. And so obviously, like I want to share why these things happen, but also what we can do differently to truly use spring break to our advantage. And obviously, if you've already had your spring break, the pre-enduring phases may not be applicable to you right now, but it may help you for future breaks. And so I would not skip it yet, okay? So the pre-spring break phase is all about preparation and mindset. Like we think of spring break as the finish line, something that we're desperately just kind of sprinting towards. But the thing is that really spring break should be a part of our marathon where we're using it as part of our strategy to sustain. And I hate that I'm referring to this like in running terms because truthfully, running stresses me out and I'm not a fan. I'm just not, but it's the only analogy I can think of right now. So there you go. So many teachers continue going really hard, still sprinting when they should be pacing, right? Where they're managing those expectations and the energy levels leading up to the break so that our brains have the opportunity to calm down. In the weeks leading up to spring break, you want to start setting those boundaries for yourself, prioritizing those tasks, maybe even beginning to incorporate these mini breaks into your daily routine. This way, you're not just collapsing over the finish line, but you're smoothly transitioning into that deserved rest period. That way, we're mitigating that stress response. So we're not in fight or flight and we're lowering our cortisol levels slowly over time, really just incorporating these mini breaks and setting those boundaries as part of that preparation activates the parasympathetic nervous system, which is often referred to that rest and digest system, right? This system counteracts the body's stress response. It's promoting that relaxation. It's helping us to conserve our energy. So by prioritizing those tasks and setting those boundaries, you're essentially telling your brain, hey, prepare for rest. It's not a race to exhaustion, okay? And the whole vibe of planning and getting your ducks in a row before spring break, it's not about ticking those boxes. It's actually part of a great strategy for your brain. Diving into those planners, setting things up, that activates your prefrontal cortex, which is the command center for all things planning, decision-making, even keeping your social interactions on point. And so this is kind of like a brain boost. It gives your brain a sense of control. So it dials down that stress, that worry, makes you feel like you're the boss of your own calm, right? It's also about setting the stage for your mind. So when spring break hits, you're not just scrambling in chaos mode. It's helping you slide into that break ready to soak up all the chill vibes it has to offer, right? So we want to transition into that relaxation mode. Okay, so now that we're at spring break, and I know some of you have had to skip the pre-phase, that's totally okay. We've still got a strategy to help support you. So if you're listening to this during spring break, keep on listening. When we suddenly shift from this high-speed teaching mode into the stillness of spring break, there is something unique that happens that our brains can experience a bit of a shock. This is largely due to the decrease in stress hormones like adrenaline, like cortisol, where our bodies become accustomed to that during periods of prolonged stress. So neurologically, it can feel a little unsettling because our brains are operating in this heightened state of alertness. And now we have to like adjust to a more relaxed mode. That's why we want to do those pre-things. But if you did not or cannot get to that, we're totally okay. When we're constantly busy, when we're constantly ticking off tasks, we get a small dopamine hit that keeps us moving forward. And during a break, when we don't have that, when those rewards are removed, we can feel restless. We can feel uneasy. We can feel anxious even, almost like we're craving that stress that we're trying to escape. And because our brains thrive on routine, thrive on predictability, that sudden change in our daily structure can lead us to feelings of anxiety because our internal clocks are trying to recalibrate. This adjustment period is crucial, and it's how we respond to it that can make a significant difference in our ability to genuinely relax, genuinely recharge during this break. So whatever we can do to slowly disengage that stress response, that's going to be the key. Activities that are soothing, that require focused attention, reading, painting, gardening. These activities not only keep us present, but it helps to stimulate that dopamine production that is a more balanced and sustainable way of reducing our stress. I would not recommend just sitting on the couch, especially if you're feeling that stress. Rest is not all about couch potatoing, although there can be, so it's really a fine line. But I like to suggest those more soothing, focused attention activities. You know, exercise is another powerful tool. It helps us metabolize that excess stress hormone. It increases the production of endorphins. You know, happy people just don't kill their husbands. I don't know how many of you listened or watched Legally Blonde, but that's definitely from that. Even just a daily walk can significantly shift your mood, shift your perspective, helping you bridge that gap between that high stress of teaching and the calm of spring break. We want to embrace, though, that unstructured time. I want you to allow yourself, give yourself permission to explore those hobbies and those interests that you don't usually give yourself the time for. Exploring this can be incredibly rewarding, and it provides a fresh source of dopamine that is not linked to your work-related achievements. It's about finding joy in the journey, not just in the destination. So even if you're stepping into spring break without having the chance to do that pre-phase preparation, these strategies can help guide your brain to a more restful, rejuvenating break. And I want you to remember that it's not about filling every moment with activity, because we can do that, right? We can do that. It's about allowing yourself to experience and enjoy that present moment fully. That way you can maintain that for weeks to come. The other thing that can happen, though, is we start to feel human again. So maybe our bodies actually start recovering from burnout because we've had that time to rest, to recover. But then again, it's possible that the amount of chronic stress you've been under only gives you a taste, only gives you a little bit of that rest you need in order to recover. The self-awareness of, wow, this made me feel like me again, is a huge indication that you are in active burnout. And there needs to be a plan in place if you want to enjoy your life again inside and outside of the classroom. Burnout is not just impacting you inside of the classroom. I want to remind you of this. It is absolutely impacting you outside of it as well. So if this is a realization that you're having, make a plan. And if you don't know where to start, I do have a free quiz to help you create your personalized burnout recovery plan. It will give you specific steps that you can take exactly for you so that you can beat this burnout cycle. And I'll put the link for that in the show notes. Speaking of feeling like a human again, though, once spring break is over, this is an interesting emotional landscape, I think, because very rarely do teachers go back and really feel like they're ready to take on the world unless they're in burnout recovery, right? So most of the time, there's a sense of dread almost like an enhanced Sunday scaries. The dread of returning to the demands of teaching after just having rediscovered your sense of self beyond the classroom can feel overwhelming. This dread isn't always just about leaving the zen of the break behind. Sometimes it's just the realization of how deeply we crave and need that sense of peace and self-connection in our daily lives. It's sometimes a longing for a life where we don't have to wait for break to feel like ourselves again, a true sense of balance. If you're back from spring break and you feel like this, this is a strong emphasis from your psyche. If you're back from break and you feel like this, it is a strong emphasis from your psyche that you need to start integrating aspects of your spring break self into your daily routine. The contrast between our rejuvenated state and our return to the routine can actually be a fantastic catalyst for burnout recovery, where we start to realize, hey, like, I hate counting down until break. I hate that I don't live my life all the time. I want to live my life all the time, not just during spring break. And if you think that you can't, okay, perhaps that's a sign you need to do some mindset work. If reading, if spending time outdoors, if indulging in hobbies helped you recharge, make those non-negotiable parts of your weekly routine. This deliberate inclusion helps to mitigate the impact of re-entry back into the classroom. It maintains that connection to your rejuvenated self where you're not saving living for breaks. I think that's where teachers go wrong a lot of times, where I went wrong so many times. Another consideration and strategy involves that mindful re-engagement with work. So instead of diving headfirst into all these pending tasks, pacing yourself and tackling them in manageable segments is a huge, huge strategy. This approach not only prevents that immediate overwhelm, but it also reinforces that practice of pacing. So you're not going straight into the same behaviors that led you into burnout. The post-break period is an opportune time to really reflect on and set those boundaries around work. If dread is stemming from feeling overburdened, assess which tasks are essential, which can be delegated, which can be eliminated, which can be automated. We have a whole bunch of resources for how to do this here on the podcast. So I'll link some episodes in the show notes. That way, if you need that piece, you can definitely get started with that. This reflection can lead to more assertive communication about workload expectations and your necessity for support, right? Spring break is so much more than just a breather from lesson plans, from grading. It's our chance to really hit that reset button, to get back in touch with what lights us up both inside and outside of the classroom. It's that sweet spot in our calendar where we can ask ourselves, hey, what makes me thrive? It's not just about stepping away from the hustle. It's about exploring those new hobbies, revisiting those old ones, and really tuning into what makes us feel alive. I think that's where we go wrong. We don't use spring break intentionally. We go balls to the wall, we crash, we burn, and then we do it again. And it becomes this endless loop of pushing ourselves to the limit and then trying to recover in a week only to dive right back into the same unsustainable pace. It's like we're trying to fill spring break with so much rest or so much fun that it becomes another form of exhaustion. Instead, spring break should be where we ask ourselves, hey, what do I need most right now? Is it rest? Is it adventure? Is it solitude? Is it connection? Maybe it's a mixture of all those things. But the key is making those choices consciously with the awareness of what will truly serve us best in the long run. And not just saying, you know, we save these things for breaks, intentionally bringing that into our daily lives. If you need more support along the way, take that quick personalized burnout recovery roadmap quiz at teachingmindbodyandsoul.com/quiz. And don't forget, you are a resilient teacher. We're in this together. You got this. Before you go, head over to teachingmindbodyandsoul.com/podcast to check out any links, freebies, and resources discussed in this episode so that you can start recovering from or preventing burnout and reigniting your passion for teaching. If you liked this episode and it helped you or made you think in any way, I know it will be for other educators too. So subscribe and leave a review so more educators can find this community as well. Did you know that you can have an incredible impact on the teachers in your life? That's right. All you have to do is share what you learned today. Take a screenshot of the episode you're listening to and tag me and post it in your stories. What do you say that we start creating a trail for more teachers around us so that we can start to make the change in the system of education, how teachers are seen and respected, and for ourselves? I look forward to connecting with you more on Instagram at Teaching Mind, Body, and Soul or TikTok at Miss Princess Teach. I am always looking for an excuse to chat more about burnout, resilience, and teacher support. I'll see you in the next episode.